All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. That's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, the most powerful man in the world contracted COVID. And I don't know. This is his first time, I think. Yeah, it's Joe Biden's first time having COVID, and he's got a runny nose, they said, and I don't know if they said sore throat or not.
I think they said a slight cough.
Slight cough, yeah, dry hacking kind of cough.
Yeah.
And the most powerful man on earth can contract COVID. That means all of us at some point in time are probably going to contract COVID.
You know, I think they think that all of us maybe have, almost all of us have had it, because I think the number of people who have officially had it is like 75 million or some such number. But, you know, I had it. But I had it, and I took a home test, and that's what proved I had it.
I took a home test.
I didn't report the positive result to anybody, so I'm not one of those 75 million, and either are you. And so the fact is that the number who've actually had it is far greater than 75 million. And they're thinking it's probably double that number, because not only are there people like you and I who took home tests who know we had it but didn't report it to anybody, so the government doesn't know we had it, but there are people who had it who don't even know they ever had it.
Right. That's.
I mean, my COVID was a runny nose and laryngitis. And I guarantee you, in 1998, when I was working and whatever, I would have gone to work every day. I wasn't sick.
Right.
I wasn't sick enough to stay home. I would have taken whatever I had to work. And shame on me for that, but that was normal behavior back then. So there's lots of people who have been sick like that and didn't get tested, don't know. So it could well be that 200 million people have had it, you know, which is pretty damn near everybody.
Sandy, that's kind of what I believe.
Yeah.
That people have had it, did not know at all that they've had it, and you know, many of us, it's had some long lasting impact or effect. My taste buds, man, I really can't taste food.
Yeah,
I really can't smell.
Well, people have long said you were tasteless. And a man without taste, I didn't know.
So, Sandy, have you taken a look at the kind of tennis shoes that I wear? And you're telling me tasteless?
No, you're stylish. You are a man of high style. I have ringing in my ears.
I'm telling you, I even when I'm cooking,
yeah,
I'm like, man, I can't smell the food.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the issue with the difference between a cold and COVID, or the flu and COVID, is we haven't really figured out all of the facets of what COVID can do to you. So, you know, in many respects, when I had that slight sore throat, laryngitis, and runny nose, it was a very trivial disorder. But if it leaves me with some long-term effect, then it's a little less trivial. I mean,
right.
If it's only a ringing in my ear, okay, I've got a ringing in my ear. But if it's something else, if it's myocarditis or some of the other side effects that people have talked about, then it's a little more serious. So I think COVID's going to continue to be treated as a disease that's not quite just a common cold. But it's definitely on the verge of becoming endemic.
So let's look at, if you look at the map, It's really spreading like wildfire, but there's no panic this time, right?
Yeah.
People aren't, I got to get inside, I got to.
Well, I think the disease is more trivial now. I mean, I think it has morphed into something, this new Omicron virus, BN or
right,
whatever.
B5.
Whatever it is clearly one that's maybe more transmissible but much more benign than the original coronavirus that was really. And so you can see that because the rate of hospitalizations per person testing positive has gone way down. So people are not getting as sick. And I think the reason we aren't panicking, number one, is a bunch of us have had it and it's like no big deal. Number two, the hospitals are not in a state of being overwhelmed. And from the standpoint of public health and the public health interest, it's really all about, are our hospitals overwhelmed or not?
So only 35%, even though they say 65 million Americans have been vaccinated, 65% of Americans have been vaccinated for COVID, but only 35% have gotten the additional boosters.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of them until Wednesday of this week when I finally said, hey, if I got the two original Moderna shots, vaccinations, why have I dragged my feet on the boosters?
Yeah.
And it finally dawned on me that doesn't make any sense. So I finally went in and got a booster, but there was something that was going on in my mind that was, even though I got the first COVID shots, I saw all these people dying, and I didn't want to be one of them. And once I got the vaccinations and you saw that that portion of it has faded away, and Sandy, maybe as you stated, maybe never to come back again, to that degree, you know, because things have changed and the immunity of people have grown. And then I asked myself, well, why would I keep getting these vaccine, the booster shots?
Yeah.
But then I said, hey, I'm around a lot of people. Why would I not? And that was what finally made me decide, hey, what have you been thinking? Go on and get the booster shot. And I went in and got the booster shot. Guess what? Nothing changed. My appetite didn't change. I didn't get sick. Nothing changed. There was nothing to fear. It was never a matter of me fearing that I would feel ill or something from getting the booster. It was just, I call it stinking thinking. That you're listening to some things that, and instead of you doing the reasoning and rationale yourself, you can kind of get caught up in that. Well, why do they keep sending? How many more of these boosters am I going to have to take? I had two.
Well, it is true. I think that they keep talking about evolving the boosters and trying to make them address the most recent strains, the most recent variants. I don't know. I think that the vaccination movement was an important one, and I think it was important in the United States to try and address the pandemic as it originated, and it was important to mitigate the severity of the disease. So, I think the governments have to do a far better job of both messaging and understanding themselves the reasoning behind the vaccination movements. You know, just yesterday, apparently, the first American in a long time was diagnosed with polio.
Yeah,
it was someone who had not been vaccinated against polio. The public health announcement that was talking about it pointed out that polio vaccinations were required for children to go to school.
Right.
Which was the same as the smallpox vaccination. So, I mean, I think important, dangerous diseases that can be treated by vaccination, there's a very powerful public policy argument for making sure that vaccinations occur. And I would just simply go back to the fact that I think the whole public messaging, and I would fault the Trump administration in large part for this, the public messaging relating to vaccination, but it occurred across the world, was just very, very poorly handled.
You know, then this fringe monkeypox shows up, and now another reason for people to say, monkeypox? Do I need to get a vaccination for?
Monkeypox strikes me as a disease that's possibly a little bit more like AIDS in terms of the
way it's transmitted for gay people.
So, well, it has to do with body fluids,
right,
and things. So it wouldn't just be gay, but the fact is that it's a disease that undoubtedly is going to be it's going to have a growth pattern that will begin to relate to the general public. I was in Aurora Hospital, St. Luke's, day before yesterday. The fellow I was talking to there was talking about the fact that they're getting alerts for monkeypox all the time, and that as far as the hospitals are concerned, they think it's going to be the next wave in terms of a significant problem.
Wow. You know, Sandy, thanks as always.
Yeah.
See you on Monday.
See, we ended with monkey business. That's the way it goes.
All right. Got to run. Thank you, Connor, for a great week. Thank everybody who took the time out to listen. It's going to be a great weekend. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.